You are listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. The message is entitled, A Lively Hope, and is taken from the scripture passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The sermon was given on March 27, 2016, at the Mountain Grove First Baptist Church in Mountain Grove, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Praise team, praise man, thank you all so very much. Turn, please, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, toward the back of the Bible. We're going to be looking at two verses this morning. Get your listening sheets ready, if you will, with a pen or pencil. A message entitled, A Lively Hope. Verses 3 and 4 from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, Peter, the old fisherman turned apostle, writes his first letter as a letter of wonderful hope to people who lived in hurtful times. Now, maybe you can identify with that. Maybe you are living in hurtful times. Some of us are. And to be honest with you, I sort of assess that in America today, that we are in hurtful times. Well, that's the characteristic of the culture in which Peter was writing. Living in the difficulties, the distresses, the darkness, and defeat of uncertain times. I don't believe that anyone at any time, to be honest with you, lived at any tougher times than these Christians did to whom Peter was addressing. And at that time, these Christians were hated, mistreated, driven from their homes. Many times, martyrdom occurred. Do you realize that in the 21st century, there's actually more martyrdom for the cause of Christianity than there has been at any other time in the history of mankind? That's today. Now, I realize that we're not experiencing that yet anyway. The evil, corrupt madman Nero was the ruler of the known world at that time. And Peter starts out immediately by making a declaration that God's abundant mercy has birthed us unto a lively hope. Now, this word hope in Scripture means confident assurance. So it's not just something that we're wishing for. Well, is it going to be a nice warm day today? Well, I hope so. No, it's not just something that we're wishing for, but rather it means confident assurance. Roll that around in your mind, because that's what Peter declares that God's mercy has given us a lively hope. Now, please note that this lively hope is a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you see that right there in verse 3? That lively hope. Say those two words with me. Lively hope. I heard about a lady that was standing at her kitchen sink looking out the window at her backyard, and she looked and she saw that at the edge of her backyard, right at the edge between her yard and the neighbor's, that her big dog was back there and had something in its mouth, just shaking the fire out of it. And so she dries her hands, she goes to the back door, and she looks a little closer, and she calls her dog up to her, and that dog comes up there, and that dog's got a dead rabbit in its mouth, just shaking it. And she looks back a little closer into the neighbor's yard at the neighbor's rabbit pen where the neighbor kept their pet rabbit. And the door was flung wide open and the pen was empty. And she saw, oh no, our dog has gotten into that rabbit pen and killed the neighbor's pet rabbit. They'll never forgive us. Well, she made her dog drop that rabbit, and she looked around, and she bends down, and she picks up that stiff, grimy, dirty rabbit, and she carries that rabbit inside. And she goes in the bathroom, and she puts that rabbit in the bathtub, and she runs some hot water, and she works on that dead rabbit, and she gets the slime and the grime and the dirt off of the fur of that rabbit, and then she picks that rabbit up, and she gets her hair dryer out, and she starts drying that fur of that rabbit, and she gets a hairbrush out, and she fluffs that hair up, that fur up, and she gets that rabbit looking decent. She goes out to the back door and she looks out and makes sure that nobody's back there, and she goes trotting across her backyard. She climbs over the fence and she puts that rabbit, props it up in the corner of that pen, and closes the door and latches it. She climbs back over the fence, runs back inside. Now, 2 or 3 hours later, she hears this blood-curdling scream coming from the backyard. And she goes out, and her neighbor is standing there staring at that rabbit pen. Going, ah! Ah! She runs back to the back fence, and she says, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she says, look! Look, our rabbit, he's alive. Our rabbit died 2 weeks ago and we buried him right over there. And she said, but look, he's alive again. He's alive. He's alive. Now, today, when we're all through today, every Sunday, to be honest with you, we ought to be running out of here. We ought to be able to run out and say, he's alive! He's alive! Jesus died 2,000 years ago, but look! Look! He's alive! He's alive! That's what we're talking about today. Because God, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, has given us a lively hope. Say those words with me again. A lively hope. All right, now, keep your Bibles open and look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Because he delineates four factors about this lively hope that we have as a result of Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead. Now, please note in verse 4 that it says that because of that resurrection, that our lively hope is focused on an inheritance. An inheritance. Say that word to yourself, an inheritance, because that's what you've got. If you're one of God's kids, you've got an inheritance as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, first of all, please note there in verse 4, to an inheritance, and here's the first factor. Your hope is protected. Because it says there, to an inheritance, incorruptible. It's incorruptible. So it's protected. Now, when Kay and I first moved to Branson, we moved into a parsonage that the church owned. And it was a nice house, certainly nice for us at that time. And we were grateful for it. And it was in a nice neighborhood. And around that parsonage, there was this white rail fence. And we thought it looked very nice, and it was attractive. And now we lived at that parsonage for several years while we were pastoring there in Branson. And after a year or two, I looked out the front window and I thought, man, I need to paint that rail fence. And so that's what I did. And as I was painting that rail fence, I noticed that there was a board or two that I needed to replace. And then a year or two later, I looked out the front window and I thought, yeah, I need to paint that that rail fence. And so I did that, and as I was painting, I noticed there was a board or two that needed to be replaced. And then a year or two later, I looked out. Are you getting the picture here? You know, I discovered soon that, man, a lot of those boards were rotting and decaying. And then some of the posts were starting to get pretty rickety and were rotting and decaying until, to be honest with you, I finally just had to tear out that rail fence. Now, this word incorruptible, do you see that there in verse 4? It means that it is not subject to corruption and decay. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about your inheritance. We're talking about your inheritance. Where do you get it? Well, you get it as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That if you're one of God's kids, you have an inheritance. What's that inheritance going to be like? Well, it's going to be incorruptible. You see, the houses that we live in here on this earth have to be kept up and maintained. Have you discovered that? My father-in-law told me right just about the time we were getting married, he said, son, there's always work to be done around the house. I don't know how many times in a given year, for the last 48 years, that I've said to my wife, you remember what your dad told us? It's true. There's always something to be done around the house. You see, that's because the houses that we live in are subject to decay and deterioration. But listen, there is a home in heaven that has been reserved for us that is not subject to decay and corruption, not subject to being worn out, and doesn't need maintenance. There ought to be an amen on that one, my friend. We have a hope and a home in heaven that is not subject to the elements, nor to the deterioration, nor to disintegration, nor to dilapidation. This inheritance is incorruptible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All right, here's the second thing. Your hope is protected. Number two, your hope is preserved. Now look in verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. This lively hope that you have is to an inheritance that is undefiled. Now this word undefiled means free from contamination, unsoiled, pure. Some time ago, I had gone into a restaurant and I ordered a hamburger and some fries. And man, I got that hamburger and I picked it up and I took a big old bite of that hamburger. And I thought, this is pretty good. And as I started to take my second bite and tipped it over, I looked a little closer at the bottom of that bun, and I'll be honest with you, that bun had a different shade of green on it than what I normally like on my hamburgers. You see, the lively hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be contaminated in any way whatsoever. The devil can't contaminate it with his lies. Humanism can't contaminate it with its deceit. Philosophers can't contaminate it with their worldly view. Cults can't contaminate it with their falsehood. Agnostics can't contaminate it with their questions. Atheists can't contaminate it with their denial. Pessimists can't contaminate it with their negativism. Carnal Christians can't contaminate it with their lack of commitment. Politicians can't contaminate it with their globalism. Liberals can't contaminate it with their liberalism. Satan can't contaminate it with his destructive onslaught. Legalists can't contaminate it with their work ethic. It can't be contaminated. My hope is undefiled. And it's because it is a lively hope. And it is a lively hope because of what God did when He raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. Listen to this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, wholly lean on Jesus' name. Come on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is lively and it is preserved. And here's the third thing. Your hope is protected and your hope is preserved. And number three, it is permanent. Notice that next statement there in verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it fades not away. Now, a number of years ago, I was over in southeast Missouri doing a revival. And I got to looking at some of the towns around that area, and I thought, you know what? I've heard of these towns before from my dad. I didn't know much about my father's background because, very honestly, he didn't know much about it. His father left he and his brother when they were quite young, and shortly after that, about the age of 3 or 4 for my dad, his mother died, and my dad was raised by his grandparents who were deaf mutes. And so my dad dropped out of school when he was in the 8th grade, and I would hear just bits and pieces about his background, but I thought, you know, he's talked about living right here in this area. So one of those days when I was doing the revival, I went down to the county courthouse, and I went to the county clerk's office, and I said, ma'am, you've got archives. Could I spend some time and she was very gracious, and she took me back to the archives library, and wow, I mean to tell you, I spent all morning getting these big record books from the past, and went back decades to about the time that my dad perhaps would have been in that area, and I was searching through page after page of deeds and affidavits, looking for the name of Scribner name and his grandparents' background. And then that afternoon, I walked through, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 cemeteries in that area, looking for tombstones. And it was an interesting day. But as I was looking through those big record books, I finally had to go ask the clerk, do you have a magnifying glass? Because those deeds and those affidavits and those record books, the signatures and the writing on those things had really faded away over the years. And I would spend that time looking through those, through that magnifying glass, because all of that had faded away. Now let me ask you something. As you think about your Christian life, as you think about your spiritual journey, would you say that the signature of God on your life has faded away over time? Has it? For some people, it has grown dim. As you look at the signature of God on your life, has it grown dim? All right, now look at that. Look at that term there in verse 4. You've got an inheritance, my friend. You've got an inheritance that fades not away. How's the signature of God on your life today? As you look through the archives of your spiritual life, there's a third grader that came home one day from school and handed his mom and dad his report card. And his mom and dad, before supper time, looked at that report card and they weren't pleased. You ever been there? They weren't pleased with what they saw. And at supper time, the dad said to his son, "Son, after supper, I need to talk to you about school." And so after supper, he sat down with his son, and boy, they got face to face and knee to knee. And he looked at his son and he said, "Son, your mom and I have looked at your report card," and he said, "We're going to have to do something about these grades." And the little boy looked at him. He said, "We can't. They're in ink." Well, the hope that you have is a living one that is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that hope, my friend, was not written in the archives in the books of life in ink, but rather in the blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing can destroy it, nothing can defile it, nothing can diminish it, can't displace it, can't discourage it, can't discount it, can't disavow it, can't disallow it, can't disfigure it, can't discolor it, can't discharge it, can't deteriorate it, can't disintegrate it, can't disassemble it, can't demean it, can't dilute it, can't de anything it, my friend. Because it's written by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's sealed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your hope is permanent because it's a lively hope that is brought about because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's number four. Number four, your hope is promised. Your hope is promised. Well, not only is it protected, preserved, and permanent, but look there in the last part of verse 4 where it says reserved. Do you see that? Reserved in heaven for you. This lively hope brought about by the resurrection of Jesus Christ is reserved. My wife and I went to a stained glass theater yesterday with several friends, and I don't know if you've ever been to that in Ozark, just south of Springfield. It's pretty neat, interesting live Christian drama presentations that they do. If you haven't, I'd encourage you to look that up sometime and take your family to one of those. And when we got there, as soon as we walked in and walked up to the ticket window and told them our name, man, they just immediately handed us tickets and said, "An usher will be with you in just a moment. Show your seats." That was it. Now, why was that? Well, we had made advanced reservations, and our place had already been paid for then. Now, what I was saying was that we made advanced reservations, and our place had already been paid for. What I was getting at was that we'd made advanced reservations, and our place had already been paid for. Now, don't be foolish enough today to think, "Well, you know what, I'll wait till I die, and then I'll..." No. It doesn't work that way, my friend. You got to make advanced reservations, and your place had already been paid for. I'm talking about heaven now. I've shifted gears. Everybody with me? Yeah, I'm not at the stained glass theater anymore. Now I'm in verse 4. And look at that last phrase. Do you see what it says? Reserved. Reserved in heaven. You see, our place in heaven, our inheritance in heaven, it's been reserved because of our faith in Jesus Christ as a result of His resurrection. You see, as believers in Christ, we have a living hope because we trust in a living Christ. It isn't the fact of life that determines our faith, our hope, my friend, but it is the faith of life that determines our hope, because our faith and our hope are in God. Matter of fact, Peter goes ahead and say that. Go ahead, shift over to verse 21 of this same chapter. Verse 21 of this same chapter, where it says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see, we keep on going even when the burdens are heavy and the battles are hard. We have a living hope because of the living Son of God who arose from the dead. You know, time destroys most hopes. You've read about missing persons before, maybe a missing child or whatever, it's time works against you on that. Time works against you. It seems as time goes on that hope fades. Hope fades. But listen, the passing of time for the Christian, the passing of time for the Christian only makes our hope that much more glorious, that much more imminent, that much more solid, that much more secure, that much more urgent, that much more confident, that much more living. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior, because Jesus, after he died, arose from the grave. Hell couldn't contain him. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't beat him. And hopelessness couldn't survive. When Jesus walked out of the grave, he said to you and me, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope because I am alive. Hallelujah. It is Resurrection Sunday. And listen. He's alive. He's alive. He is alive. Let me pray with you. Father, it's amazing. It is nothing but amazing that your power would raise Jesus from the dead. And thereby we are justified. And we have a right standing with you through Jesus Christ. And Father, we have a lively hope, a lively hope. Thank you, Father, for that living hope through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations, and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.